This week on Bloodstream, we'll let you in on a little surprise we are brewing for Bleeding Disorders Awareness Month. We might have another little surprise in store in addition, and we'll shine a spotlight on the supporters of the Pain Pod with Corey McGregor from Tremo Pharmaceuticals.
This season is, I've only heard the first two episodes, but even more powerful because it's really that much more focused on people's personal journeys and telling that story.
Hi all, I'm your host, Amy Board, and my co-host is not here. You might know what that means, and we'll get to that exciting news. But before we do, I just want to remind you that I am not a doctor still. I am not a doctor still, not a medical expert. So make sure you consult with one of those before making any healthcare decisions. And reminder, you can watch Bloodstream on our Bloodstream Media YouTube channel, subscribe to Bloodstream on Apple Pods, or stream episodes directly from bloodstreammedia.com. Thanks for listening. Rate, review, and tell a friend. And hey, welcome to Bloodstream. Dear listeners, before we get into it, I want you to know that the Bloodstream podcast is made possible by our presenting sponsor, Takeda. Takeda believes in a world free of bleeds and are dedicated more than ever in their effort to offer a wide range of programs and support to help patients throughout their treatment journey, wherever on that journey they may be. You can learn more simply by visiting bleedingdisorders.com. One more time, that is bleedingdisorders.com. And for their founding and ongoing support of the Bloodstream podcast, I'd just like to say thanks, Takeda. Now that we've kind of gone through all of that, I get to share. Obviously, the show is looking a little bit different today. Patrick is not here. We hope to have more news to you all soon. What a tease that has been. It's been a whole tease. But all of our love to the Lynch family, and we can't wait to share the news when they get to share their news. It is not our news to share. So for the time being, you get me. You get just me. You might get producer Greg here in a little bit, but for the time being, you get me. So apologize for that. We've got great stuff for you today. Something exciting that is coming down the works that we're working on right now is a little special thing that we've got going for all of you listeners during Bleeding Disorders Awareness Month. As you know, March is now dedicated Bleeding Disorders Awareness Month, and throughout the month of March, Bloodstream is going to be releasing a mini episode a day. Can you believe it? We are going to release episodes Monday through Friday, so you'll get a reprieve on Saturday and Sunday, but we're releasing every day throughout the month of March to celebrate Bleeding Disorders Awareness Month. Some of the topics that you will see coming through that channel are going to be what is hemophilia and VWD. They're going to be nice overviews, one-on-one overviews that you can share with family and friends, which will be nice. Also, topics like what is the experience for people of color with bleeding disorders, as well as what is MASAC and why do they matter, which is fantastic. And we'll have four episodes, so one each Thursday on mental health with Debbie De La Riva. So we're so excited. All of us at Bloodstream are contributing to this. We're going to have many hosts from our Bloodstream media world, so you'll get to hear from our Flow host, Christy Van Horn and Jessica Richman, on several topics. You'll get to hear from our cultural and diversity consultant, Alexa Abreu, who is just doing fantastic work. You'll get to hear from the Pain Pod host and writer and producer, Mel Forrest, as well as Josh Bragg, who is the host of Haunting Season, and Drama De La Rosario, who is our Teen Impact Award and video producer extraordinaire. So be very, very excited about that and on the lookout. And of course, you get to hear from me too. I have to do things as well, so that's going to be cool. But now I'd love to bring in producer Greg to save all of you from hearing my voice from this whole thing. Greg, how are you doing? Please tell me how you're doing and all the things.
I'm all right. Thanks, Amy. Yeah, it's been cold in Philly. I know Texas has been a mess, so I guess my thoughts are with them. But in Philly right now, we just got another big storm. We're going to get another one on Thursday. So it's been icy, icy, icy. But yeah, I'm excited to be on here. As you guys call me producer Greg, I feel a little bit better coming on with messed up hair and a messed up beard just because I fit the mold of a true kind of in his basement producer.
Can we have that be your new Instagram bio, in basement producer? Feels like it fits. And have you slipped on the ice yet? Do you have a bruise to show for it?
I do not, but my social media feed is just full of friends and family posting videos of them and friends slipping and falling, and then followed up with another picture of their back or their knee, black and blue.
Brutal. So I brought you on because you actually are going to interview our guest today. We're going to talk to Corey McGregor from Trumeau about her reaction to the Pain Pod. And you are so closely associated with the Pain Pod. So tell me a little bit about how it's going this season. How do you feel the podcast is going? Tell me your reactions.
Yeah, like you said, I'm really in the weeds with it. So the episodes tend to blend for me. But the first episode we released last week with Patrick Gaines, I thought was great. Everybody we're interviewing is on a different part of their pain journey, on a different timeline. And Patrick is really wise and mature in his approach to his own chronic pain and chronic pain more generally. So we led with his story because it's so well-rounded, and he's gone through so much change from the beginning of his story to the end. He's in a whole new place and he's still struggling, but he's able to see his full journey. And I think he's really able to help people because of that. And in episode two, we featured five of our other speakers, and we wanted to start what our director and writer Mel calls as the beginning. This season is really focused on the full journey of pain from a very personal level.
Yeah. One thing that I got from listening to several of the episodes, as I had the privilege to do, was just how invisible it was and how people feel. I mean, it's like it's this invisible thing, and I can relate to that, and I know you personally relate to that. What has it been like to hear other people's journeys? Like, how has that helped you in your journey with chronic pain?
Yeah, thanks for asking that. In episode five, which I know listeners to this podcast won't hear for another couple weeks, the episode actually starts with a piece of my story, and episode six might feature another piece. But I suffered from post-concussive syndrome for 3.5 years. But this show, producing it and interviewing people and hearing their stories, has been really close to home for me. And it's actually impacted me a lot. Dr. Lyman from season one, I ended up staying in touch with. And he has been instrumental in connecting me to other peers of his that have furthered my recovery. So this series has helped me a lot. And then hearing other people, yeah, just that component of compassion and empathy. And that's really what this series is all about. It's feeling a little bit less alone, as you'll hear Corey say in just a little bit. Feeling seen, feeling heard, that goes such a long way in this battle of chronic pain, which at times can just feel incredibly alone.
So set us up a little bit. What are we going to hear from Corey? Who is Corey? What is her connection to the project?
Yeah, Corey McGregor is the executive director of new products planning at Trumeau. In episode one, we played a quick snippet of an interview between her and Patrick where she shared a bit of her own pain journey. So she will share a little more about that. You'll hear why she and Trumeau thought the Pain Pod was needed and why they were such a great fit for the series, and just her overall reactions to the first two episodes of the Pain Pod, which I think she's really proud of season two, whereas season one was really focused on the different approaches that clinicians take to treating chronic pain. Season two really gets at a deeper level of the personal battle with pain from the patient perspective. So I think she's really appreciative of that balance and where we're taking the series.
Awesome. Well, let's get to it. Let's get to our interview, Greg's interview with Corey McGregor.
You studied biology at Tufts and then health management at Yale. And at Yale, you were also the co-president of the Biotechnology and Pharmaceutical Society. It seems like you knew in college, but how early on in your life did you know you wanted to get into pharmaceuticals?
Not in college, actually. I can tell you've done your research. So thanks for that background. But so college, I actually did the whole pre-med track. I thought for a time that I'd want to go to medical school. But when I finished college, I started to second guess that. I wasn't sure that I liked the idea of being in school for that long. So took a little bit of time off and worked doing clinical research, actually. So I was a clinical research coordinator for urologists, actually, so at a Boston hospital. So spent my time focused on trials, but primarily studying prostate cancer and incontinence at the time, because that's where urologists focus. But really enjoyed what I was doing, but during that time, decided that med school wasn't the route for me and wasn't really sure which way I wanted to go, but spent another couple years at a consulting firm where we analyzed data for pharmaceutical companies. And what I realized while I was there was I've always been a bit of a data geek, so I like that side of it. But what really got me excited actually was the power that that data could have and how it actually informed decisions that the companies that we were working with were making. So ironically, I at one time in my life thought I didn't want to go to med school because I didn't want to be in school for four more years, but ended up going back for three more years anyway for my master's in public health and my business degree. But you know, ever since then I've been in pharmaceuticals. And even when I entered pharmaceuticals, you know, I knew that I was combining these passions of medicine and health and data and science. And what got me excited was how it supported decisions that pharmaceutical companies were making, but wasn't really exactly sure initially how to what direction I should go within the industry with all of that background. But because of that, I went into consulting for a while because that kind of lets you dip your toe in a lot of different waters and see what's most exciting to you. And I've kind of just, you know, followed the exciting opportunities that, you know, as they occasionally come up ever since then.
So the research component of the pharma machine is really what drew you to it, as opposed to the marketing or patient education component of it.
So initially, it was the way that the research was driving decisions that the companies were making. But you know, that said, my interest in medicine, you know, initially and from the beginning, one of the things that I've always enjoyed most about all different stages of my career has really been having that opportunity to work with patients and families and advocacy organizations. No matter what you're doing, the work's a lot more meaningful when there's a purpose behind it. And when the purpose can be people and their health and their quality of life, that's what actually gives meaning to any numbers that you're crunching or decisions that you're making, knowing that there are real people that you can have an impact on behind it. So without a question, you know, that always was the foundation for my interest in medicine, and it's always been one of the most rewarding parts of my career.
Absolutely. Yeah. And listeners did get a quick snippet of your personal journey with pain in the first episode of the Pain Podcast. You mentioned that you were a runner in high school and you developed some knee issues that kind of ended your dreams of running a marathon. That was the kind of the short story. How would you characterize your own journey with pain, and how did that experience impact the way you viewed people that suffer from chronic pain ever since?
So I have to say, in my knee, to be honest, is bothering me right now. So I'm happy to talk about it. But in full disclosure, I have to say, having an appreciation for the a lot of the people that have been highlighted on, you know, both season one and now season two of the Pain Podcast, and hearing other people, you know, at Trimo, we're focused, you know, right now is primarily on hemophilic arthropathy, which is, you know, joint pain that results from, you know, repeated joint bleeds. I feel bad even talking about my pain, because I think on a scale of severity, you know, relative to a lot of what we've been talking about, I have absolutely nothing to complain about. And I'm very fortunate for that. But, you know, that said, my knee is, I just said to my husband, I think this morning, that it was occurring to me as I've been listening to the episodes even, and a lot of people talk about, you know, having flares when the weather's bad and whatnot. I'm like, maybe that's why, you know, I live outside of Boston and the weather's awful here these days. I'm like, maybe that's why my knee's been bothering me so much lately. But again, all relative, and on the scheme of things, I have nothing to complain about. But I did run quite a bit in high school, and basically developed what they call runner's knee, which is my kneecap wasn't tracking properly over my knee. And now I have, you know, a nice big ugly lump on my knee that's basically scar tissue that resulted from that. But there's also some nerve damage in my knee from the repeated swelling of all of the injuries. So it's a different kind of pain. It's not an arthritic pain. It's, I call it more of a discomfort than a pain. It feels like my leg's asleep and there's nothing, no position I can get in or nothing I can do to turn that off, which, and, you know, I learned over time that, you know, when I was running a lot, eventually, anytime I'd go over 10 miles, my leg would swell up and freeze up and I wouldn't be able to walk for a couple days. And I did that a couple times and realized I had to stop running like that. Interestingly, I haven't run like that in a long time. And the damage has to some extent been done at this point. So it's a distraction. It makes you realize and appreciate. And again, I fully recognize that, you know, the pain that I'm living with or feeling right now is nothing compared to what a lot of people featured in these episodes are feeling. But I find that I'm frequently changing positions, hoping that I can make it feel better, fidgeting a bit more. It's on my mind. I think about, you know, when can I get some ice on this? You know, that's the thing that probably helps it the most, I would say. I try not to take too much for it, although lately that's been a little bit harder to avoid for too long. But it just makes you realize it's just one of those things that's always there and always in the back of your mind, you know, as to the extent that you're able to push it out of the front of your mind.
I think a large part of your job and what you do at Tremo, a quality you must have is empathy in terms of helping people with pain. If that knee experience that you had, you know, wasn't as severe as some of the people that were highlighting on the pain podcast, where do you think you learned or developed that empathy for people with chronic pain?
I think it comes from listening. And this is, it's interesting because it's a theme that, especially in season two of the Pain Pod, where this season there's this beautiful focus on really putting the patient front and center and letting them tell their own story and recognizing that no two stories are the same. Everybody's journey with pain from how it starts to, you know, how they live with it and how they cope with it it's unique. But one of the themes that's come up from multiple patients in the two episodes this season is that desire just to be seen. It's, you know, you're not always going to be able to fix somebody. I'm certainly, unfortunately, not going to be able to, you know, fix this for people, but just knowing that people just want to be heard and seen and have somebody just share a little bit of that weight with them or just have more of an understanding of what their experience is. And I think that's key to having empathy for people in all sorts of walks of life, is just giving them that opportunity to tell their story and to truly be seen for everything that they carry with them. And I think that's a lot of times, you know, it doesn't solve everything, but it can, you know, one of the patients in the first episode just, you know, relayed this story of, you know, when a neurologist, he felt like, you know, there's this rare instance after being to so many doctors where the doctor just turned off his computer and looked him in the eye and he just felt seen, and talked about how that, it doesn't have to happen often. Ideally, it happens all the time, but just those, having it happen sometimes can mean the world to somebody. And I think that's what empathy is all about.
Why did you and Tremo feel like a series like this was needed? And why was Tremo the right fit to sponsor?
So you know, kudos to Believe Limited and, you know, and you and to Patrick and the team at Bloodstream for really coming up with the concept of, you know, what the Pain Pod would look like and, you know, how to structure these episodes. You know, huge kudos to your team for really being the brainchild, you know, behind, you know, and producing it and doing all of the hard work here. You know, for Tremeau, we as a company, we're a small company, we're a new company, we're only about 10 full-time employees total, actually. So very small within the pharma space. We're just starting right now our first phase 3 study for patients with hemophilic arthropathy, again, so joint pain that results from repeated joint bleeds. And it's a non-opioid pain product. So our entire focus as a company for both this program and other programs that we're, you know, thinking about for the future is to provide another non-opioid pain option for patients. So there's, you don't have to look very far within the bleeding disorders community, or unfortunately a lot of other patient communities also, to recognize that there's a lot of unmet need out there still. And it's been over 15 years since a truly novel drug, that non-opioid drug has been developed for any type of musculoskeletal pain, which is kind of remarkable. When, you know, when I first heard that, I went and, you know, did the research myself, because I didn't believe it, because, you know, how with all of the innovation that we've had within, you know, within medicine, how is it possible that, you know, it's been so long that there have been any new non-opioid pain products? But you know, unfortunately, it's true. And so one of the things that we want to do as Tremeau is, you know, obviously we don't have any marketed drugs right now. So we're not at a stage that we can, you know, say anything about what our products do or don't do, or say that they're even, you know, approved or available for anybody. But we do want to elevate the conversation and keep this conversation going about pain, because there can be something therapeutic in just being able to talk about it, again, to share stories, to you know, give people a platform to share their stories, to know that people are listening. And, you know, it's a small number of people that are ultimately, you know, going to be featured on the podcast. But even for people that are listening, you know, I think it's, while every story is unique, there are common threads that you hear too. There are pieces that you hear that might remind you of something in your own journey or something in a loved one's journey that helps make it feel like you're not quite alone in this either, and there's something to relate to. And so we want to, you know, make sure those conversations are being had and help, you know, or, you know, thrilled to continue. We, season one of the Pain Pod was, we were, you know, thrilled with the podcast and the work that you and the team did to really focus on all sorts of different you know, pain treatment options for people living with all types of chronic pain. And it, to me, this season is, I've only heard the first two episodes, but even more powerful because it's really that much more focused on people's personal journeys and telling that story and providing a platform for that, which I think is so important.
Absolutely. Like you said, each chronic pain story is different, but there are commonalities that connect a lot of them, and each one of these stories can reach so many different people. Well, thank you, Corey. Thank you and Tremeau for your continued support of the Pain Podcast in our effort to reach as many people as possible, to connect, to empathize, to relate to people going through chronic pain, which is not only physically and emotionally extremely uncomfortable and painful, and oftentimes can feel incredibly alone, like you mentioned earlier. So we really hope this podcast series can make you feel a little less alone. So thank you for the interview and for your continued support.
Thanks, Greg. I hope so. Also, really appreciate you having me on here today. Looking forward to hearing the rest of season 2 along with everybody else. And I hope the same, that everyone that listens can feel a little less alone and seen.
Thank you, Corey. And thank you, producer Greg, for that interview. And to hear more about the Pain Pod and to listen to the Pain Pod, season 2 is out. So make sure that you subscribe to the Pain Pod wherever you get those podcasts. So next week, we have a great episode for you. We're going to dive into Rare Disease Day. And Nicole Scappi, who is the new manager of education at the National Hemophilia Foundation, is going to join us. She wrote a book about rare bleeding disorders, and she is going to share her journey with that. So thank you again to producer Greg, and thank you, Corey, and to the Bloodstream team, and thank you all for listening. And as always, thank you to Takeda for being the presenting sponsor of the Bloodstream podcast. Make sure to check out bleedingdisorders.com to learn more. And that is all for this episode. Have a bleeding disorders or health topic you'd like to hear us discuss more? Is there an expert or guest you're dying to hear from? Hey, want to inquire about casting opportunities for Bloodstream's narrative or docu-style podcast series? Email us at mailbag@bloodstreammedia.com or connect with Bloodstream Media on social media. You'll find Bloodstream Media on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can follow me, you can follow Natalie, or you can follow Patrick on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or only Patrick will be into this, but LinkedIn. You can follow Patrick on LinkedIn and he will respond to you. Check out the program notes for this episode in your podcast player or on bloodstreammedia.com, where you'll find links and information related to the stories and segments featured on this episode. I am your host, Amy Board, and for Patrick James Lynch and all of us at Bloodstream Media, take care of yourself. Bye-bye, everybody.